Okay, our friend.
I missed that one.
You want to try it again?
No.
Okay. Catch me on the next one then. Today we are reading a story called Apples to Oregon, being the slightly true narrative of how a brave pioneer father brought apples and peaches and pears and plums and grapes and cherries and children across the plains. This story was written by Deborah Hopkinson and Nancy Carpenter, and it is exciting to know that, believe it or not, this story is mostly a real story. I'm not joking. It really is. So before we get started, I just want to quickly say, have you ever heard of the Oregon Trail? Your mom and dad have. We probably all played it in school. It was a game. But it was actually based on a real thing. People who were in one part of our country got on a long trail with their wagons, pioneers, hundreds of years ago, and rode through this long trail together Iowa to Oregon.
Wait.
And we're going to read about it.
Wait.
Yeah, what's up?
You mean they took this trail at the time of the dinosaurs?
No. The dinosaurs had long gone when this happened. So this wasn't thousands of years ago. This was hundreds of years ago. Are you ready? Well, let's give it a go anyways. Here we go.
My daddy loved growing apples, and when he got ready to pull up roots and leave Iowa for Oregon, he couldn't bear to leave his apple trees behind, so daddy built two of the biggest boxes you could ever hope to see, and he set them with a sturdy wagon and shoveled in good wormy dirt, and then he filled every inch with little plants and trees. Hundreds of them. And Daddy was ready for the most daring adventure in the history of fruit.
Apples ho!
He cried. And along with apples, my daddy took peaches, pears, plums, grapes, and cherries. Oh, and by the way, he took us along too.
Now this guy likes fruit. So in the picture we can see,
he has a wagon. A giganto wagon full
of fruit trees.
Well, we all had lots to do on the journey. Each morning I helped Mama bake biscuits while Daddy prepared for another long day on the trail. At night, Mama and I tucked in the little ones while Daddy fiddled lullabies under the stars while I can still hear him crooning to the Gravensteins.
Hush, little babies, don't you cry. Mama's gonna bake you in an apple pie. If that apple pie ain't sweet, Daddy's gonna munch you for his own special treat.
Wow, he's singing to the apples. Do you ever sing to your food?
Mm-mm.
Maybe we should try it.
We rolled along just fine till we came to the Platte River. It was wider than Texas, thicker than Mama's Muscat stew, and muddier than a cowboy's toenails. Just looking at it made my insides shrivel. Now, the riverbank was crowded with folks in prairie schooners trying to get up the nerve to cross. And when they saw us and our little fruit trees fluttering in the breeze, they burst out laughing.
Those leaves will be brown as dirt before you hit the plains, declared one old geezer.
Plains? Someone else scoffed. That nursery wagon won't make you halfway across the river.
But Daddy didn't let their talk worry them. He just looked me square in the eye and said,
Delicious, I'm gonna need your help.
And right then and there we built a raft for his tiny trees. And then Daddy loaded me and my little sisters and brothers onto the edges.
Now, make sure my precious plants don't topple into the water,
Daddy warned. Well, we hadn't gone far and that muddy drink started to pull us down.
The peaches are plummeting, my sister shouted. The plums are plunging, boomed my brothers.
Don't let my babies go belly up, hollered Daddy.
I had to think quick. We're too heavy. If we don't go faster, we'll sink. gonna take our shoes off and kick. And so we kicked. Well, of course, we'd all been raised on apples, and everyone knows youngins raised on apples are strong, mighty strong. And before you could say Johnny Appleseed, we kicked ourselves clear to the other shore. But no sooner had we gotten every last tree loaded back in the wagon than I spied a foul-looking bunch of clouds stomping around the sun, just fit to be tied. Uh-oh. What do you suppose that means?
A storm's rolling in.
A storm's rolling in. I agree. The wind began to throw around everything that wasn't lashed down. Our boots, baby Albert's diapers, every pot and pan Mama had, even our own little wagon. Next, hailstones big as plums started hurtling out of the sky.
Guard the grapes! Protect the peaches!
Daddy howled, and so we all started tearing off our clothes and holding them over Daddy's darlings. Bonnets and petticoats and trousers and hats and even Daddy's drawers. Do you know what drawers are?
Pants or shirts.
In this case, it's underpants.
Drawers.
Yeah, it's a fancy way for saying underpants. Underclothes.
Underwear.
Whew, at last the storm passed and Daddy's dainties were safe. After all that excitement, it felt good to hit the trail again. But before long, we came to an endless sandy desert. Now remember, us youngins didn't have our wagon on or our boots. And in no time, our feet were redder than poisoned apples that the old witch gave to Snow White.
Delicious. This is our toughest challenge,
said Daddy, wiping his brow as I followed him on tippy toes.
We gotta find a water hole or my babies are done for.
Well, yes, and your children, sir. Soon enough, by noon, the fruit trees began to droop, and by 3, their itty-bitty tender leaves were getting crispy. By nightfall, Daddy was crying, a handful of dead branches pressed against his heart. I couldn't bear to see my daddy suffer, so next morning I took off to look for water. But although I searched and searched, I couldn't even find a splash or a puddle. After a while, I got so tuckered out, I plopped down under an old sagebrush. Ouch! I yelled, landing on something hard. But when I saw what it was, I whooped for joy. My very own boot. What's more, it still had some water in it from all them melted hailstones. And that was our lucky day, let me tell you. We found every one of Mama's pots and pans spread out across the sand. They had all had a few drops of water in them, too. Just enough to get Daddy's trees to the next watering hole before they all keeled over.
Wow.
That...
When she says keeled over, she doesn't mean keeled, like... healed. She doesn't mean healed over. She means like keeled, like something keeled.
Yeah, keeled over. So that's a ship's term, right? When your ship turns upside down, that's what we call you're keeling over. You've keeled over. It means that you are no longer upright. Things are all wrong and potentially you're going to be dead. That's what's happening here to these trees.
My, that first sip of water sure tasted good, even if I did have to wait my turn behind some Baldwin apples. Oh, and I'm pleased to say our wagon and all the boots turned up too. All except one. I reckon that nasty wind blew my left boot clear to the other side of the moon. And if it should happen to drop out of the sky on your head one of these days, I'd sure appreciate you sending it along to me.
Wow. They all lost their shoes, but then they got them all back, except for one.
Well, we kept on going, past Courthouse Rock and Chimney Rock and Independence Rock and lots of other rocks that didn't have names, and we climbed up rocks and down rocks, and at last we reached the Columbia River.
Just 100 miles to go,
declared Daddy.
100 miles?
I know! On foot, too! Oh my goodness. Can you imagine how tired they would be at the end of that?
But time was running out. Our little trees had almost drowned in the river, got pounded by hailstones and withered by drought. How much more could they take? And now we were
set for a showdown with the most ornery vermint of all, Jack Frost. Oh, I'd already spied him sneaking around our campsite brushing the cottonwoods with his cold, white tongue. But I wasn't about to let him get close to my daddy's apples. So that night, I made a big fire and sat by waiting for Jack Frost to show himself. And sure enough, as soon as the moon came up, I spotted that old good-for-nothing slinking across the meadow, heading straight for the sweet Junes. Those are apples. And I got ready to fight. Jack Frost came at me, turning the ground so cold my toes went numb, but I did not give up. I grabbed a flaming stick and threw it right at him before you could say Peter Piper picked a peck of pretty pippins. That low-down scoundrel was high-tailing out of there, heading straight for Walla Walla, Washington.
I'm mighty grateful, Delicious,
said Daddy as he scrutinized his sweeties the next morning.
Thanks to you, even the sweets stayed snug.
We were nice and cozy, too, added Mama. Checking the children. Goodness. At least they were thought of, even if they were an afterthought, they were thought of. Sure enough, all Daddy's trees survived just as if they'd come across the plains in a swanky carriage. We floated them on boats down the mighty Columbia to a pretty place near Portland. Then we planted them in that sweet Oregon dirt at last.
Gold was discovered in California not long after, and thousands of people rushed there to seek their fortunes. But not us. We already had our fortune. Those apples and peaches and pears and plums and grapes and cherries made us richer than any prospector. And we were happier, too. After all, apples taste a whole lot better than gold. As for my daddy, he was always sweet as a peach. He and Mama lived happily to a ripe old age. And Daddy never forgot my brave deeds on the trail. Why, as soon as he sold his first bushel of apples, he brought me the prettiest pair of boots you ever saw.
Delicious, said Daddy. You'll always be the apple of my eye.
And I guess she is a type of apple too, by the way. The delicious apple. And that, my friends, is the end. And there's a note here at the end by the author to explain how the first apple trees really did come to Oregon in a wagon. And it gives all the details. There were 8 children in this family, and they were really a traveling nursery.
And, so, this is the story of Johnny Appleseed.
It's similar, only Johnny Appleseed was on the other coast. What? Yeah, I don't think he quite made it out all the way to Oregon. Well, maybe he did. No, I don't think he did. But nevertheless, he did do an awful lot of walking around.
And that is the end.
The end.